Welcome to the Faculty of Humanities and Social Science Research Podcast Series at the University of Nottingham, Ningbo, China, the first Sino-foreign university. I'm Dr. Mary Jane Ainslie, Associate Professor in International Communications.
And I'm Dr. Derek Irwin, Associate Professor of Applied Linguistics. We're coming to you from the Language and Pedagogy Laboratory here at the Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences.
For this edition of the series, we are delighted to be joined by Dr. Seong-Yong Lee. Seong-Yong is Assistant Professor in Applied Linguistics in the School of Education and English. Seong-Yong holds a PhD in Foreign and Second Language Education from the State University of New York at Buffalo and a Master's degree in English Education from Hankook University of Foreign Studies in South Korea. Derek? They're really good institutions.
They are exceptional institutions. And I will say Seong-Yong's an exceptional scholar as well.
He's in your department.
He is indeed. I was on his hiring committee. I'm very proud of that fact.
So all of this is basically because of you. Completely.
I like to take all of the credit, but, you know.
Go ahead, yeah.
I will do so. So before joining UNNC, Seong-Yong was working as an assistant professor at Beijing Normal University and then Hong Kong Baptist University United International College, which I think we just call UIC, right?
Yes.
He was an assistant professor at Hanam University in South Korea between 2021 and 2023, and he served as the head of the English Education Department. So Seong-Yong's research interests include AI and L2 education, teacher education, and global English. Englishes, in fact. His articles have appeared in many, many top academic journals worldwide.
Yeah, I saw the list, and that many, many is many, many, many.
He is a very prolific author and co-author.
And L2 education, that means...
Second language education. Right. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, I had to look up a few of these terms. There's a lot of acronyms this week.
You know, we applied linguists love using short forms.
Yeah, I think we've already been over this a few times.
We have, yeah.
You know, I'm acronymed out now by the end of the series. In 2024, together with collaborators Johan Huang and Jeho Jeon, Seong-Yong published the article Integrating AI chatbots into the metaverse, pre-service English teachers' design works and perceptions in the Journal of Education and Information Technologies. So another excellent journal.
Fantastic journal. And actually a fantastic article as well. I really enjoyed this one.
Oh, that's good.
How about you? Do you like L2 education?
Well, it was a little bit tougher for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it also made me kind of realize, goodness, I really need to get on the ball here. You know, I need to start integrating more learning technology into my teaching practices. And the issue is that I actually feel that I do that. I use a lot of software, but reading something like this made me realize just how fast this is all moving. You know, how fast this technology, this software is moving. And I know, Derek, that you're really on the ball here as the Associate Dean of Teaching and Learning here. And I know that you've been taking a lot of courses in this. So I'm sort of kind of making a lot of mental notes like, okay, come on, Mary. Come on, get your stuff together. It's got to happen now.
To your credit, Mary, we did have a conversation on how to integrate AI into assessment. And I think you did a really nice job this
term.
Thank
you, Derek. So. That makes me feel a little bit better. I'm getting the old credibility.
There we go. We're doing it. But neither of us have the credibility of Seong-Yong here. So I think that we should get him to start by maybe explaining what this paper set out to do. And give a brief overview of the findings.
So. Welcome, Seong-Yong. Thank you for coming.
Hi. It is now my pleasure to be here with you all to introduce my research and topic today.
Excellent. Well, can you do so? I mean, this was a fascinating paper. What precisely were you setting out to do with this bit of research?
The motivation of research was to explore how the pre-service teacher, I mean, the student teachers of English are trained with technology in teaching English as a second and foreign language in South Korea, which is called teaching English as a foreign language context.
Mm-hmm.
I have interest in how we can train these student teachers with AI technology, the cutting edge technologies nowadays we are welcoming into the education context. In combination with metaverse, which is one of the kinds of virtual environment or virtual realities, which is actually desktop virtual reality. So this has been a background.
I think I could understand how a chatbot could be very useful for learning, you know, and particularly for language learning. But what is the role of the metaverse in this? Because this seems to be what your paper is bringing to it, to the discussion. It's not just about kind of chatbots, but it's about kind of the integration of the metaverse into that, which you say in the paper is actually quite understudied.
Yeah, that was one of the gaps, and there was something my team has been interested in for a long time, because artificial intelligence chatbots and the metaverse, virtual reality, actually, these two cutting-edge technologies have been integrated into education technology or second language learning context for a long time separately. And these two technologies are something we have been excited about for the last 4 or 5 years. But there has no research before my research that integrate these two cutting-edge technologies into one context. Metaverse has integrated the engagement or attractive or less intense or less anxious environment for the students, so that they feel more comfortable. I mean, the second language students more comfortable in language learning, because second language environment sometimes give them a sort of anxious or a nervousness in terms of speaking up. Mm-hmm. I mean, opening up their mouth, because it is second language, it's not their first language. So
I can certainly,
yeah, we believe,
yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah,
in
metaverse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for you Chinese. Yeah. So metaverse, usually when they use avatar, when they can hide their real identity, they feel more engaged and immersed and comfortable.
Okay. That's true of most things, I think. When you hide your identity, you sort of become more confident as well. Okay.
Yeah. One thing I found very interesting. So I'm doing a fair amount of work with AI, and some of my students have said to me that that's exactly the reason they enjoy using the AI as a chatting partner, is because it removes the human judgment from it. So the AI doesn't judge you. Mm. And so I think maybe the combination of these two things could do a really interesting bit of work in reducing kind of language anxiety issues.
Yes, yes. Actually, there are some overlapping points between AI chatbots and metaverse, as you said, because with AI chatbot usage, we can encourage our students to talk with a virtual avatar in the virtual environment altogether. So actually, in my previous research, which has published almost at the same time, I did encourage my students to engage in intercultural communication with AI chatbot in the metaverse space at the same time.
This implies that there are different cultural contexts within it?
Yes.
In
students,
the metaverse?
Yeah, my students were asked to speak with the person or those who speak Filipino English or Chinese English, things like this.
Oh, okay.
Usually they get nervous in communication with people from other cultures and linguistic background. So that was another, the research, but.
So you can get chatbot
context.
Sort of Filipino.
You
can get it to function in Filipino English. It's just an interesting point of clarification.
Yeah, okay,
because one thing that we run into is that AI itself is contextually not embodied, right? So AI doesn't have a culture. It can be a simulacrum of culture, or it can fake it. But this is really interesting, because the one thing that ran through this paper, for example, is the notion of creating an authentic context. And I'm going to push back on that a little bit, because what makes the metaverse or chatbots in any way, shape, or form authentic?
That is a very, very interesting question. And actually, some people who don't have any expertise in identity, authenticity, real life conversation, things like this, this topic is very challenging. But the thing is, according to what is called task-based language learning, I mean, the students can learn a language in a real life or real life-like situation. We come up with some of the situations our students can engage in their real life in terms of having a conversation with foreigners. So here, what we call authentic or real life context is not actually like real life or contextualizing, or that includes a real identity from people, but we actually simulate.
Simulated authenticity.
Kind of training, yeah, training, and then let our students taste that kind of thing.
Does it matter then? Yeah. I mean,
Just joking. I'm trying to provoke Xiangyang.
Sure. That is another story. I mean,
there are many stories that are emerging here.
That is the topic we are now interested in, because in second language learning context, actually, this one is not a real issue, because we usually talked about this one in context of social, cultural or social linguist, I mean, the actual language use in actual real life context. But when we talk about second language learning, everything happens within a textbook or a classroom situation. It is a simulated one. We say this one is authentic, not real, but authentic. This means we created this environment. So this one has been created in the metaverse space. Mm-hmm. So, actually, before we come into the main context of this research, this is a very, very important issue I want to point out. Yeah.
We're all getting pretty mature about that.
So that was the very, very important point we have to talk about in a metaverse space.
And it is very interesting. I mean, I'm obviously joking a little bit here, where the metaverse allows you to construct a virtual space which does more closely simulate an authentic situation than potentially a classroom can, because you can manipulate the environment within the virtual space.
And it makes it immersive and removes the human judgment that might be there or that you might feel if you're interacting with a human being. Because I think that was one element that was key. You're looking at me like,
No. It doesn't remove the human judgment in the sense that what it does is it's adding a kind of layer onto your identity, right? So you can imagine that you are anonymized a bit, but the teacher is also present in that space.
Okay.
So the AI chatbot offers you the opportunity to have a judgment-free conversational partner potentially.
Okay.
But it may still correct you.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, I'm talking because I get excited about this as well.
The most excited I've seen you in a while, Derek.
Well, talks very poorly to my personality, I think. One interesting thing, though, Xiangyang, maybe you can take us through the history of chatbots as well, because many of us think of AI as a very recent innovation. But of course, chatbots themselves have been around in education for quite a long time, haven't they?
Yeah, actually, chatbot is not a new concept in education. Even in the industry or business field, because chatbot has been developed as a text-based chatbot first. It is based on the big data, in which data is integrated into the programming, and the programming and the software articulates some information out of a big data, which is called corpus. I mean, a group of text data. And articulate some sounds or texts, things like this, to express its own opinion. Just like AI technology has been in our education field or industry for a long time, like more than 40 years. But speech recognition chatbot has been developed for the last 10 to 20 years, along with the development of artificial intelligence, which is automatic speech recognition. So combination of a text-based chatbot, artificial intelligence, speech recognition technology, And recently, generative AI, AI chatbot has been much more real and authentic. I mean, mimicking and stimulating the human conversation based on a big data, which can adapt to any sort of situation, but cannot update new information. Yeah.
So essentially,
now we can use it.
One of the interesting things about these large language models, at least the readily available ones, is they're fixed in time. So they can't be up to date because they're not bringing in constant new information in the large sense. So they tend to be stuck to whenever their last update was, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
It does. It does.
So big questions, Hyung-Yang. You did mention in here about the potential and some use of these, not the AI chatbots, of course, but the metaverse space during COVID. And what I was really struck by is that actually the metaverse seemed to be this kind of phenomenal failure of adoption. So, you know, it was rolled out in this massive form by Facebook/Meta and then lost $8 billion or something.
I remember this. Yeah.
And yet during this time, we desperately could have used a virtual environment as an adoption platform because we were locked out of our classrooms in many cases. So do you have any explanation for that and why you think that without that clear and present need that it's worthwhile adopting in this context?
Yeah, that is one question we always confront with in our review of the paper, because there's so many reviewers and professor asks us and other people who use a metaverse or virtual reality for education purposes, like what is the actual value or the need for using metaverse instead of the traditional classroom, because in the COVID-19 situation, it was valid, but now it is not. This is what they said. In other education contexts, special education context or some education context in which we have to train firefighters, they cannot touch the real things because they can put them in a real risk. So in education context, we said before, we argue that it is not just in place of a traditional classroom context, just like we argued in this paper. It can may provide another a sort of benefits, which is called affordances, because as I said, in a second language education context, the real challenge is that students may be or should be nervous about speaking up in front of native speakers or even in front of the teachers, even in front of their peers, because usually in a foreign language context, they don't want to make a mistake in terms of grammar and vocabulary use. But metaverse space, even though they talk with their peers or teachers, their identity is conceptualized as avatar. So they express their opinion that they usually feel comfortable. They feel more engaged, immersed. This is a background from our research. That's why there is a specific education needs there.
I think listening to you sort of talk about that and the benefits and the huge offerings that this technology has makes me sort of remember the kind of primary question I had after reading your very excellent paper. I can understand why this wasn't so engaged within the COVID period, even though it was so useful, which was basically we were all just bewildered by what was happening around us. But now my sort of central question just seems to be, well, why are we still here?
Yes.
Why are we still here doing this?
Yeah. Actually, we don't have to have a class in a virtual environment. So, so we propose that we can compare AI chatbot use in a real classroom and that in the metaverse space. So we can find out the value of using metaverse space as part of the task in the class.
Yeah, so you say that this can still take place and this should still take place within an actual physical classroom.
Yes.
Why must it still take place in a physical classroom?
Not most, but it can give, provide students with some sort of leverage.
Leverage.
I mean, the niche space for students to be engaged in, second language, practices, second language practices. And actually, there's another, usage, for students to, have a conversation with people from, different cultures, because there is still geographical limitation and boundaries. So, we can use this for, the teaching students, about intercultural communication as well.
Mm-hmm.
So actually there's, many points we can apply, metaverse space to.
Can I add one as well, Seongyeong? One thing that, we are concerned about is access to education. So there's the potential with these technologies to be able to have participants from more remote areas, assuming we can get the technology to them to start, where they can then access spaces which they may not be able to physically make it to. So there are, as you say, there are a lot of different kinds of affordances. One of them is the potential of these for remote education, which can be really important.
Yeah. That is very, very important issue because, but actually in the classroom, when we have all of the students in the classroom, we found that when we use AI chatbot instead of the conversation with real people, the students, are more excited, especially the young students. Yeah. And the part of the research, in this paper is not to engage students in the conversation with AI chatbots, but train pre-service teachers. I mean, coming back to our topic again. So when, student teachers, try to design, it's this sort of specialized and a contextualized environment, they can enhance their technological skills, but at the same time, their content and a pedagogical skill at the same time. That is what we notice in this research. Yeah. So there's another value.
I guess, Derek's question also about sort of access there also makes me think about, are there any kind of economic costs to this? I mean, firstly, everybody would have to have a computer or a smartphone,
At least.
Would you also have to build sort of different metaverses or kind of online contacts in a sense too? Is there any kind of wider cost to this that would offset its benefits?
Because it is metaverse, and usually when we do these sort of things, we gotta have a single platform. So actually, we gotta control these sort of things. But the thing is, we use a sort of commercial item, which is called Spot, the one of the metaverse platform. This does not require high level of technological. I mean, the boundaries. So, all of the people can have access to this space with their smartphone, PC, any sort of, low performed, smartphone, desktop. We acknowledge that the technological boundary is a little bit lower, but other than that, we cannot control actually. That is one of the limitations.
But
because
the cost, to get it, the cost of a metaverse space is presumably much lower than that of a physical classroom. There's a bit of a trade off.
So we're basically all going to go bust. All of us.
We can't. Yeah.
I don't think that's true in the sense that.
Well, I kind of hope it's not true. I mean, I like being here.
Well, and I like being in a physical classroom as well. I don't think what you're saying is that this is going to replace the physical classroom, but rather that there are affordances here that are not available or help out students. So maybe you can tell us some of your results. So what did the pre-service teachers say about these interventions? What were they? What was their level of satisfaction or feedback that you got?
I'd really like to know about that as well. And specifically, because obviously I'm hoping that we will have a lot of colleagues and academics listening to this. Maybe you could tell us a bit about what we know is particularly effective in the use of AI and the metaverse in teaching and what we can learn from your study?
Yeah, this did not happen in a real, the experiment study, but we try to use two different groups. One group used chatbot only in their traditional classroom context. The other group was a sort of extreme experiment group, and that they used AI chatbots in the metaverse space. And the metaverse space and chatbot group said, actually, we explored their attitudes and their actual use and their designing tasks of AI chatbot and metaverse space. And we collect the data from survey. We used technology acceptance model in which we explore people's intention to accept or integrate technology in their working or learning context, which includes attitude, technology self-efficacy, immersion, and engagement. And in all of the areas, AI chatbot and metaverse group showed higher points and higher scores. They showed positive attitudes about AI chatbot in the metaverse space, and they showed higher self-efficacy, immersion, and engagement. I think part of the reason was from the technology innovation or technology novelty, because the young students nowadays, they're excited about using technology, but also they spotted one aspect, and I mean the benefits of using metaverse space because of the designability, flexibility, communication and possibility, things like this, the affordances from the metaverse. And we also did sentiment analysis in which we explored their emotions and affective factors, actually. And they said they were happy and surprised about the use of chatbot. I mean, how they could develop AI chatbot in the metaverse space. And lastly, according to keyword network analysis in which we explored the combination of different keywords from their interview and reflection papers, they said they were highly motivated to design their classroom environment in the virtual space. They could provide feedback to students according to the automated feedback system, and that they were more confident in speaking out in front of students because teachers themselves can also could hide their real identity behind AI chatbot and in the metaverse space. So actually there were some limitations, but from the positive aspects, they said that they were more engaged and immersed in teaching students in a virtual space.
So from the actual academics, the educators, yeah. The teachers.
Yeah. The teacher's perspective.
I think it's interesting that the teachers seem as enthusiastic about the technology as the students do in that way, which I actually particularly like. I think we shouldn't underestimate, and often we do underestimate, just how much pleasure people can actually get from working with technology. I see it all the time, I feel, with my students.
Well, and adding these things, I find it helps our enthusiasm as well. Hyung-Yong, one question I've had when I was looking at this, which you did address somewhat in the paper, but this may be more of an opinion thing, because, you know, I do quite a few intervention studies that involve various technological interventions in education. And I do worry sometimes that a lot of this has to do with the novelty factor. Can you speak to that and how much you think that this might just be an initial burst of enthusiasm, as Mary was just saying, ooh, I have the metaverse, let's use it, and how much you think that this could actually be a kind of transformation of an educational experience?
Yeah, novelty effect is a sort of technological term in which people are initially excited about the new technology, but their emotion, it got lowered later.
Sounds like us in this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm more enthusiastic right now.
Yeah. And from the perspective of positive attitude about the accepting technology in their, we say, life or into their work, things like this. And it also depends on personal innovativeness. We use this term in TAM, technology acceptance model, as well. I mean, the people who are more enthusiastic and more integrating technology into their life, they are more excited about technology, and their emotion remained very strong for a long time. That was one of the reasons we try to encourage our students not just to use the technology, but to educate them from the scratch. I mean, from the perspective of, we say, TPEC, how we can train teachers from the not just technological or content or pedagogy perspective so that they can spot the value of using technology. Yes, they were very, very excited to use, now we can use what is called artificial intelligence. We can design it. We can make artificial intelligence from the scratch. This is my AI chatbot. This is my metaverse space. Usually metaverse space is designed and it is in there permanently. You know, we don't have to, the change or something. So firstly, they were excited about the new technology. And then there was a sort of novel defect. Their interest disappeared later a little bit. But from that time on, they started to see the value of using AI chatbots because they saw they could use this one for task-based learning, language learning, in which students can do some task at the same time they can learn a language. And also they can use sometimes metaverse instead of LSM, LMS, just like Moodle. They can put everything in there and then they can integrate all of the technologies in there. And then they can provide students with it in a visualized way. Students can have an access to this metaverse space at any time they want. They can use it. They can interact with AI chatbot. They can have a conversation with the other students in a real life context because they cannot come to the classroom anytime they want, but mm-hmm. they can go to the metaverse and then they can practice a conversation mm-hmm. with AI chatbots or with other peers or teachers, even teachers. Mm-hmm. So later we use this one as part of the flipped learning context. That one was published in the LIT as well this month. Anyways, we use AI chatbot and metaverse as part of the flipped learning context, so they can use it as part of the flipped learning. So when pre-service teachers, actually they are pre-service teachers, they are not teachers, so they are more excited about using technology first time. So this novelty effect is very, very obvious. Sure. But when they see the value of using AI chatbot and metaverse, we can compensate for this lack of, this sort of novelty effect with the affordances of AI chatbots and mm-hmm. metaverse later. Mm-hmm. So this is what we thought about the training teachers.
That's particularly interesting. Yeah. listening to that as well, one thing though that sort of I keep kind of coming back to in my head is that as I understand it, all of your students and the teachers and the situation that you studied, they're all based in South Korea. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I'm starting to immediately think of a potential specific context and then limitation to the study in that South Korea, I think, is the most connected country in the world, I think, just about. Kind of it has sort of the most online users, technology there is so completely advanced. I always remember every time I go there, my computer cannot cope with the internet because it's just too fast, you know? And this is in the train station or something, you know, this isn't even kind of home Wi-Fi. So you are kind of dealing with a situation where I think this is extremely accessible. You know, the bus stops have Wi-Fi and all of that. People are, so adept at using this technology from such a young age as well. So do you think that does create some limitations looking at that specific cultural context here in your study and the findings from your study?
Actually, we didn't notice any cultural things as part of our research and a part of the limitation. But I noticed from your question that there must be some sort of cultural things involved in the limitation because, as you said, the Korean people are the homogeneous group. So they don't have any issues on the cultural ones or the sort of linguistic challenges because there's no communication, we say communication breakdown among the students. But this research was again about how we can train preservative teachers, not let the students engage in the conversation with AHF, things like this. But when I do the same thing in China, I noticed that in China, ChatGPT, and actually we used Google, the dialogue flow at that time as the part of the AI chatbot platform, which is not usable in China. So, but the one thing is we can use Spot, Metaverse space in China. So from the researcher's perspective and a teacher's perspective, we got to find a different technological platform, just like ChatGLM and other chatbots developed by other companies in China. The other one is the cultural ones. Students are very, very cooperative in South Korea. In China as well. In China, our students at UNSC, they're very, very cooperative. When I try to collect a questionnaire out of, for example, in this semester, out of 42 students, I collected 40 questionnaires. Yeah, more than 90% response rate. But if I do the same thing in other countries, I don't know where, but
yeah,
maybe
I'm
we can expect
how
the same.
Envious some of my colleagues in the UK would be. Yeah. What do you say to your students? Go back to you.
So I cannot notice any sort of the cultural issue because usually in the second language context, we usually don't talk about the cultural differences or intercultural communication, things like this in a formal language learning or teaching context.
Sure.
But from the researcher's perspective or teacher's perspective, that sort of limitation can be valid. So I think we also have to train our students to acknowledge or understand diversity issue, equity issue, inclusiveness, things like this among the students as well.
I'd be really interested in seeing the same study in a more diverse environment and what would come up as regards that. Absolutely.
So, Xiangyang, we've talked about a few of these issues, but can you let us know? I know this is a reasonably new paper. It just came out last year, but this year, right? So have you received any criticism of this article or any particular conversations that have gotten started with its publication?
Oh, yeah. The limitation. One of the things was a novelty effect you already mentioned. Mm. And the other one is, again, the limitation of using metaverse space in a conventional classroom context. That was another limitation.
It's not just limitations. I mean, has anyone criticized it?
Criticized.
Aside from you, criticizing yourself.
And you.
I'm not criticizing. I'm enjoying the discussion.
Okay, in terms of research, especially the sample size, the thing we received criticism about. Because of the actual classroom context, I mean, this research, the data has been from one of my classes and one of my coworkers' classes. So we compared these two classes together in the same context. But actually, we couldn't employ enough number of teachers. That is why we couldn't do what is called quasi experiment study. We couldn't use a sort of inferential statistic so that we couldn't generalize our outcomes to all preservative teacher population. So we say this study as exploratory study.
Intervention study.
We could just add one drop of water to the research Yeah, and mostly our study is based on the mixed research method. That was why. Yeah, to guarantee some reliability and triangulation research. Mm-hmm. That is the limitation we always confronted with.
Well, thank you for coming in and thank you for talking about the paper. Perhaps you can tell us also, what kind of do you hope to achieve from this paper? I mean, are you kind of now hoping that sort of everyone will listen to this and suddenly we'll all be teaching in the metaverse? Is that sort of... The way you laugh, but I'm all like, how can...
I'm sure Zuckerberg would love to hear that. Everyone move to the metaverse. Oh,
maybe it'll get us more of an audience for the podcast then. Thank you.
Okay, so one of the thing is pre-service teachers or the university student, the training. At UNSC, I applied their project to my class, which is named Language and Business Communication, which is not based on pre-service teacher training, but our students were encouraged to use metaverse space and generative AI to create their own commercial brand and promote their brand in metaverse space. And the students were very, very excited because there was a real value of using metaverse and AI chatbots, actually the generative AI, which was ChatGLM in the Chinese context. So that is one thing. The other one is, as you pointed out, I spotted some sort of value of using AI chatbots in metaverse space for intercultural communication. So part of my new project, I just finished that project last month. I try to mitigate some cultural biases and linguistic biases inherent in generative AI technology. So I try to use external database to refine ChatGPT so that we can mitigate some cultural biases in it. So I developed two refined models, and it was partially successful to mitigate cultural biases, but it was not fully successful. So this sort of AI technology for intercultural communication, second language learning, expanded into a global context of language learning, things like this, is going to be my next project based on this research outcome.
There's a danger, I think, when you're approaching global Englishes via chatbots that you might enter into like a stereotypical realm as well. And
what do you mean?
Oh, if you were, you know, trying to create a Creole or something, or recreate it by an AI chatbot, you might end up with like a Jar Jar Binks character or something like that, which, you know.
But you're forgetting that this is Siang Yong, who is super successful in everything that he does.
He would do that. Okay. And what's next then? That's the big question. Yeah. So what project are you envisioning?
What are your plans?
What am I going to do?
That is related to what Derek pointed out, because in intercultural communication context, as a broad agenda, which includes business communication, media communication as well, second language learning, or language learning as a global language, just like using English language as a global one, which involves so many speakers from different cultures and language backgrounds. So this sort of topics we talked about, identity issue, authenticity issue of using AI chatbot, because we have a question: is AI chatbot a real human being? Can we get some sort of the training outcome.
This is becoming even more meta now.
Yeah. But nowadays, in the business context, they use AI chatbots to train global citizens to be trained with intercultural communication, because nowadays companies are getting more and more globalized and internationalized, but they don't talk about identity issue or authenticity, things like this, because AI chatbots are not real human beings. This is a very, very important issue. That is why I want to dig into some sort of cultural biases and linguistic biases inherent in AI chatbots, especially generative AI for the the present form. So how can we deal with this sort of very, very controversial issue from the human perspective? Yeah, that is going to be my next project.
Wow. Well, I really look forward to your digging, because I have no doubt that you will be successful and that world domination awaits. So.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much for coming Siang in, Siang Yang.
We wish you all the best.
With 110 academic staff from 22 countries and regions, the Faculty of Humanities and Social Science is committed to delivering world-class teaching and research, with a growing focus on interdisciplinary projects. Our faculty includes the School of Economics, the School of Education and English, the School of International Communications, and the School of International Studies, as well as the Language Center.
We are committed to internationally renowned and excellent research in a thriving transdisciplinary environment of outstanding individual and collective research. Our faculty is home to a number of groundbreaking projects, including but not limited to digital heritage, game cultures, the historical and contemporary Silk Roads, health economics, cognitive neuroscience of language, and gender studies.
The Faculty of Humanities and Social Science is also proud to host a high percentage of international staff who bring expertise to areas such as history, politics, journalism, media and film studies, education, English, micro and macroeconomics, and more, as well as a wealth of experience from international universities.
We strive to offer an education and student experience reflecting the most up-to-date knowledge, and achieve this through the close integration of teaching and research. Our research-led teaching places cutting-edge knowledge at the center of our curriculum, while our academic staff actively engage our students in their ongoing research activities.